sight. Sick from water, sick from air, making money they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre rain, they burn the kids, no one thinks gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God forgives. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a pair, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one thinks, cut, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah. Back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little online network. I just like saying that. There's a good bunch of people on this network, and I appreciate everything that they're doing to try to shine some light on the situation that we find ourselves in. What's the date today? Today's the 16th of November, and I saw an article at some point today that Charlie Manson's apparently on the way out. He's 83 years old in the hospital somewhere in California, I guess. And apparently, according to the article, things aren't going to get any better. Because I always, that was a guy. If there was a guy that I would have always liked to interview, it would have been Charlie Manson. You know, there's talk from way back in the day that this guy was tangled up with the CIA. I looked at it as another age being brought forward. So I don't know who or what all was involved in that, but I always thought it would have been a really interesting guy to sit down with for a few hours and just try to get into his head and try to get something out of his head as to because he got the death penalty. I can't find that story right now, but apparently he got the death penalty, although he never actually killed anyone. He was given the death penalty, but for some reason or another, at some point they had banned it for a time being or something, and it was changed to 7 life sentences or something. So, but I don't know. I just always thought he would have been a very interesting guy to sit down with, and because we all know what we've been told about most things is incorrect. That anybody that's done any research at all can agree with. Very little, if most anything you were ever told, is on the up and up. So, you know, it would have been interesting anyways. So I don't know how much longer Mr. Manson has in this world, but it doesn't sound like very much longer. And the other thing I was thinking about, you know, it goes back to Rip Van Winkle kind of thing. You know, I've heard stories before of when people have been incarcerated for a really long time, like 20 years or plus, that when they come out, you know, they get newspapers and they, I guess, now watch TV and stuff. I don't know what they did before in jail, but when these people have been out of so-called society for an extended period of time, and the drop back into society after, say, 20 years, it's like they're going like, what the hell is this? You know? So, you know, Manson been in jail for, I don't know what it is, 40, almost 50 years. And I always wonder what it would have been like to come out of a prison after almost 50 years. And, you know, spend a week on the street. And I think it would be mind-blowing how much things have disintegrated since we would have went into jail. Just some thoughts I had. So, anyways, you see here, Toronto Police Officer... died of a fentanyl overdose. So they're out busting people and doing the drugs at the same time, which is another rather interesting thing. But they've been doing that forever, you know, way back when the police were busting the stills, you know, the police would go out and get piss-faced. And while the police are busting the drug users, they themselves are drug users. Rather pathetic. So I'm going to get into this this legalized pot here in a little bit. But where did I see? Where did I see that? Where did I see that? Oh. The hell did I see that? It freaked me out because it just went by and I just about choked. But it makes perfect sense. Where is that? Let's go down here to Indigenous. Where the hell did that go? Maybe I saw it over here. Where the heck did that go? They probably knew I was on air and was going to read it and just moved it. Where the heck did I get to? I just saw a thing here about the indigenous, or the Muslims and the indigenous hooking up together to push reconciliation. Now, the Muslims weren't here, but... where in the hell? I would really have liked to read that. Where'd that get to? Where? I can't see it now. Where the heck did it? Because I want to... I may have to just Google that again and dig it out. But this is the kind of nonsense that's going on. But it makes perfect sense because we have at the UN, we have the Declaration of Universal Human Rights plus the indigenous rights plus the Muslim rights or Islamic rights. So now you have the Muslims and the natives, which are two separate rights outside of the Declaration of Universal Human Rights, and they're using they're ramping up this reconciliation thing, so that basically any one that was involved in the creation of this place called Canada, like Johnny McDonald for his prime minister, they want his name wiped off everything. They want the Edmonton Eskimos to change their name. They want other teams to change their name. They want Calgary to change the name of their town. Which makes sense, because if the indigenous are hooking up with the Muslims for reconciliation, and you've got a Muslim mayor of Calgary, and we want to change the name of Calgary, an indigenous name, you see the connections here that, like Trudeau said, that we don't have a culture here. So whatever there was here, they're just going to wipe it off and rebrand it. And that's what they're doing. They're rebranding your past to come to a new age, which is the future that they wish to dump on you. And the future they want to dump on you, my friends, is not going to be a happy future. Not by a long, long shot. As I said on the last show, and possibly the show before that, I'm going to be saying it a lot from here on, and is that the 1990, I think it was, Cairo Declaration is the Islamic Declaration, and as far as in universal human rights are concerned, they're all for it, as long as it falls within the parameters of Islam. And like I said, I read an article, not an article, it was actually some piece of a UN document, that trying to figure out this universal human rights, that Islam seems to meet the criteria, basically. So, excuse me. So the invasion of the West is basically the move of universal human rights. And universal human rights takes in migration. Anybody can go wherever they want, whenever they want, and they have to be taken in by whatever country. And that's not a good thing. So everybody has rights except for those who founded this nation. You have no rights. Okay? Your rights are being completely wiped off the map. And, you know, I'm hoping we can, you know, put a stop to this prior to some sort of a civil or religious war taking place, is what I'm hoping for, and that's what we got to strive for. But when Islam is dedicated as the best template, I guess, for universal human rights, then you have a huge, huge, huge problem on your hands, because the plan is basically to wipe you out, and I don't think that's what our forefathers had in mind for us. Here we go. Now that's weird, eh? It was on there, then it disappeared. And I refresh the page, and it's back. No, that's not it. Why the hell does that keep disappearing on me? Try this again. No, it's gone again. weird stuff. Anyways, let's jump over here for a second. We have, I'll dig that other thing out at some point. But here we have another lawsuit. Now, the people who work for the RCMP sued for $100 million. You'd think you got all these homeless people on the streets. And people basically staying afloat. And pensioners having more and more difficult time all the time. Veterans being treated like a piece of garbage. So then you have the RCMP who were complaining about being bullied in that by their bosses and snotty remarks about LGBTQ or whatever. And so they cut loose $100 million to divvy up amongst these hard-done-by people who really don't do anything, drive around the cars a lot. So now we have CSIS. Their employees are looking for $35 million. The employees in a $35 million lawsuit alleging Islamophobia, racism, and homophobia. Now, you would think that CSIS, which is the, I don't even know what that stands for, it's basically our CIA or whatever, our security arm. You'd think that these people working in CSIS, which is the top security group in this country, would be men enough or women enough to deal with stuff because they're dealing with the security of the country. But apparently not. Everybody's turned into little whiny boys and girls. So while they may drag you to court, or while the RCMP may shoot you if you don't pull your license out fast enough, that's not considered bullying or anything, but they're bullied. So I'm just going to take a quick boo at this. And see what they got to say. He called me a name. Now, when I grew up, you know, we used to play this little, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones. But names will never hurt me. And I don't know how the hell we got from that to names will hurt me and make me cry. And I will look for my safe place and yada, 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 yada. Again, this whole thing is flipped upside down, and that's why we got to rock our boat to get it flipped right side up. Five employees are suing for $35 million. I guess they figure if those four Muslims could pull $40+ million, why can't they pull $35 million? You're sitting there, well, the RCMP pulled $100 million. And the Muslims pulled $40 million plus. Why the hell can't we pull $35 million? Five employees in Canada's spy service said its anti-harassment policies are nothing but hollow words in a Tuesday court filing. CSIS argues the employees' allegations either have no merit or have been appropriately addressed. CSIS, the Canadian Security Intelligence Service. Five employees allegations they were discriminated against, and there's that word again, and bullied by their managers. This is a Canadian spy agency. And five employees come forward. We were discriminated against and bullied by managers. Says CSIS anti-harassment policies are nothing but hollow words The employees on Tuesday filed the latest legal salvo in a $35 million workplace harassment lawsuit disputing the Canadian Security Intelligence defense that their allegations either have no merit or have been appropriately addressed. The service has policies in place against discrimination and harassment and reports to offer avenues of redress. However, these are nothing but hollow words. Actions tell a different story. The 11-page reply filed Tuesday in federal court states management created a workplace rife with discrimination, harassment, and bullying. Throw its tone at the top. Members of management were well aware that the reality of the workplace bore no resemblance to the policies and procedures gathering dust in human resources. The case is ongoing and none of the allegations have been proven in court, but since the five employees filed their lawsuit in July claiming there was an old boys club culture at CC's with managers who openly espoused Islamophobia, racist, and homophobic views, the Candlestine Institution has received unprecedented scrutiny. CSIS Director David Vingelalt immediately issued a statement when the Star broke the news of the lawsuit, saying harassment is not tolerated. He later invited the five complainants to his office for a three-hour meeting to hear their allegations. Last month, he publicly acknowledged that his agency has had problems with retribution, favoritism, bullying. He also released an executive summary of a workplace climate assessment conducted by at CSIS's Toronto office, where employees said there had been disrespectful, demeaning, offensive, and inappropriate comments and jokes. Employees feel that the management did not show any accountability with regard to this past behavior and that they dismissed and minimalized the issue, the report stated. Public Service Minister Ralph Goodale told the House of Commons the same day that there must be appropriate consequences for harassment and discrimination, but stopped short of ordering an investigation into workplace culture. As NDP safety critic Matthew Dubé had demanded, the National Council on... Oh, here we go. The National Council of Canadian Muslims reiterated the call to Goodale Monday, urging investigation into the report's findings. Canadians need reassurance that their national intelligence agency can carry out its mandate free of discrimination, racism, and Islamophobia. NCCM Executive Director Ishnan, whatever, wrote in a statement. But the lawsuit concerns the veracity of the specific allegations made by the five employees who are either they are Muslim, gay, or black, and whether they deserve compensation for the alleged harassment. All five of the complainants are still CSIS employees. See, they don't get mad and say, piss off, I ain't working here, you bunch of cretins. No. You see, in the old days where men were men, if someone's giving you a hard time, you'd work it out or fight it out, but you would get it resolved. Now it's little children. How in the hell can you have the top security agency in the country having jackasses like this working for them? All five of the complainants, are still CSIS employees but are on medical leave. Pseudonyms are used for both the complainants and managers who are cited in the lawsuit, since identifying a spy can be considered an offense under Canada's Security and Information Act. Well, what are we doing with Muslims in the Canadian Security Spy Agency? Duh. CSIS admitted in a statement of defense that inappropriate language was used, but disputed most of the specific allegations made by the employees who are listed as Alex, Bahari, Samil, Emran, and Dina. Other allegations of discrimination, the defense statement claimed, have been resolved internally in a fair, reasonable, and timely way. The complainants, who are represented by Toronto lawyer John Phillips, allege in their reply this week that they were penalized for stepping forward and none of their complaints resulted in appropriate actions against the managers. Despite making a successful harassment complaint, Alex was supposed to report to work under one of his harassers, the reply states. For Bahari, her access to information requests to close an email in which a manager directed another employee to disregard the majority of the items she requested. Now, can you not even fire anybody anymore? You know, is that not an option? If you don't like working here, I got an idea. Quit. And if you keep bothering me, I'll fire you. Well, no. We want free money. We want free money. Lots of free money. I mean, this is, we got people living on the freaking streets in this country. These people have paid jobs that don't really do anything of any use to anybody. And they're already making really good money, got really good pensions, all benefits. People on the street that went away supposedly to defend this country came back, are treated like a bag of shit, and thrown out on the street. But these guys, with like $35 million to split up between the five of them. Brilliant. Not, but that's the way it goes. Absolutely amazing stuff. Let's see here. What else have we got cooking today? Now, where am I going to find that other story? There's a story. I had these stories all laid out, and they've all just pissed off or changed or whatever. Let's see if we can find this in here. Somebody wrote a rather, I haven't read it yet, but somebody, it looked like they read, wrote a rather scathing article about all of the police and government people who are either growing weed, marketing weed, or whatever else with weed, that so they all of these people that got involved in the weed business, while at the same time still busting people for weed, is absolutely, well, it's reprehensible. But I mean, they this is how this shit operates. I don't know why people still think. People still think in this country think that you have a government. I mean, what does it take? What do you got to see? Right? What is it you need to see before you understand that this isn't a government, okay? It's a freaking corporation who is bleeding your asses dry for their benefit. And it doesn't matter what party is in power, you're just going to continue to get bled. I just don't understand what it takes. I can't find that story now either. What the heck have they done? Try this. There. Here's a funny story. Here's a really funny story. Here's some humor. Hey, Chris. Here's some funny. Canada geese taking shelter from hunters in downtown Chicago. Like, are these geese on drugs or what? I would think there's a shitload more guns in downtown Chicago than there is out in the countryside. I think the geese made a wrong turn there somewhere. Anyways, how you doing, bud?
Hey. I was at the supermarket today.
You weren't?
I was.
And it is a supermarket now, isn't it? Because it's inclusive, it's diverse.
Very.
And it's a wonderful place to hang out, right?
Yeah. Oh. And five very young, strong-looking men speaking in, I would believe the language would be Turkish, and going through the aisles, getting what I needed, I purposely bumped into them several times.
You do that, don't you?
I do that a lot. That's why my kids don't go in there with me.
Yeah.
And then the irony is when I got to the counter to pay for what I got, they pulled in behind me with their cart, and they were speaking Turkish. So it's not just the Muslims, eh? It's the Turkish.
Well, the Turks aren't Muslims.
They were, yeah. They were speaking Turkish, whatever that language is. I don't know. I'm Canadian. I speak English. And this is my country, and this is what we do in our country. Well, I got some people offended because I can't hold myself, eh? I said, "You're in Canada. Speak English." And I had one of them, the biggest guy of fighting age, turn and smirk at me. And I wanted so bad to take that outside, I actually waited for a bit, but they never came out. And I'm an old guy. I mean, he would have beat the piss out of me, probably, but his principle. I didn't like it. I felt very uncomfortable. And actually, the cashier felt uncomfortable because she was a sweet European blood woman that is, you know, probably in retirement, but because the government steals all
her
money,
she has to have
this extra cash just to pay for her groceries. She smiled at me, but she didn't know what to do.
Well, no, that's the problem, okay? Like these, you know, she'll go home tonight and she'll tell her kids or her hubby or whoever that you did this. And I know exactly what she's going to say. She says, "I just wish I could do that," right? You know, it's like when I have fun with the counselors or running them at the grocery store, you know, they hide and run. The cashiers and that when the counselor runs out the door, and I didn't say anything ignorant to them, the cashiers always wish we could do that. Well, you can. You have a mouth. You got vocal cords. You know, say what's on your frickin' mind. Oh, we can't do that. And therein lies the problem in the whole damn country. Nobody will say what needs to get said because they, for some reason, are afraid of saying what they mean. Simple as that. And I don't understand it. But I can understand why the guy's grinning at you, you know, because he knows that the entire political system, police system, military system is on their side.
Oh yeah, he got it. He got E6. Like he's.
Oh yeah, he gets it because
I'm on UCY here, right? Not on Revolution Radio.
I believe so.
All right. So he basically smirked at me as to say, "You're fucked."
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, and because they have the entire system on their side, and they know that you know what's going on.
Yep.
So he has, you know, it's for him. He says, "Oh, there's a guy that understands." They'll just smirk at him because there ain't jack shit he can do about it.
That was the attitude he had, Ron. Sure.
I mean, he could have easily picked up his cell phone and dialed 911 and had your ass put in jail.
Well, it would have been a point.
Just
there.
Because, when you're yelling at the guy and telling him, just speak English, will you, when you're in this country? Well, you're being discriminatory. Right?
Yeah.
And he knows it, so he just grins at you like there ain't jack shit you can do about it, son.
That was his attitude, yep.
Yeah, and we got to change that attitude. But, I mean, here, you know...
And as far as the cashier is concerned, when you're in a job, like in my younger years, I used to manage restaurants before I became a carpenter, and you got to be polite to everybody because it's money, right? Money. So if it's a Chinese or a turban head or a sand nigger, you got to be polite because they're handing you cash. Usually it's our cash that they're handing them. But, you know, as an employee, you have to just bite the bullet.
Well, you know, and there's the other part of it too, right? There's the other part of it too is that most of the people, right, regardless of what color, creed, race, whatever they are, the average person or average man or woman is not the problem. Okay, again, it's they're flooding these people in here, but these people are not necessarily the people that want to stab you or kick you in the nuts or whatever, right? But they're playing a part that I think a lot of them aren't even aware they're playing. Okay, they didn't come to the restaurant to for politics or religion or anything. They just came there to get a meal, right? But it's the overarching game that's being played on us that's the problem, and we got to stop it. What's going to end up with is you're going to end up with these people scrapping in the streets.
Well, I mean, if you go back to what the thoughts are, is like, damn, that's a great country to live in, because, you know, unfortunately, and as racist as I may sound, all those white boys built something really nice.
And yeah.
We weren't intelligent enough to do it ourselves, so... Hell, let's move over there and take over their stuff. You know?
Yeah, well, see, this is the upside downness of it, because, you see, in the old days, when people came here, they assimilated. Now, this new invasion that's coming, you have to assimilate to it, right? Okay, they have all the protections, you have none. They're set up on a pedestal, and you're thrown in the ditch. So now what they're saying basically is your option is to assimilate to them, because they are the ones that are going to run your country. You know, and that goes to that damn UN again, you know, that Islam has been picked as the universal human rights. So either you assimilate to Islam or pay the price.
Well, I don't know. Trudeau just gave $15 million, which, I mean, in this day and age, doesn't sound like a lot, but...
Well, $15 million is a lot of money.
Well, when you calculate all the giveaways and Aga Khan and all that, billions, billions, and billions.
More billions.
For a small country. And, you know, what's the states doing? I don't know if Donald Trump, I don't know if he's nipping this in the bud. I'm not really clear on this guy. But I feel there's part of him that wants to slow it down. But the other part of me says he's just a player and he's making it look good. But the point is we're giving all this money away and then to help other countries and the UN. And then on the other end, we're bringing in a truckloads of immigrants a day and paying for their stay on our tax dollars. So you calculate that on the other end. I mean, for a country of what was normally going to be, would be 33 million, it's going to end up being 100 million in about 5 years. And it's not going to be white boys that built it.
Well, I see
a problem with that.
Well, the problem is that this is the new age.
Right.
And the new age is your age is going out the door. Okay? This is the complete reversal and the rebuilding of what you thought was your society. And it's being flushed down the toilet quickly. And then what will emerge is a new society of inclusive, diverse society that you will bow down to Islam because it is the basis of the universal human rights. And because it contains both necessary ingredients, religion and law. And so because the West became secular, they have no real religious base in government. And the only way that they, at the UN, can implement their universal human rights is based on world religion and world law. And the only thing that seems to have it, according to them, is Islam. So the 1990 Cairo Declaration spells it out very clearly. And so this is not an accident. This is not about bringing in migrants who've been displaced because of wars and that. This is a freaking takedown. In-your-face takedown. You remember that outfit on YouTube, eh? The Young Turks? A lot of people would watch that. You ever heard of the Young Turks? Christopher? Where did he get to?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And I always wonder, what the hell are these people listening to these people? You get all these white social justice warriors thinking these guys are just great, right? I'm thinking they're freaking Turks, you twits, right? It's just soften your ass up, right? And you had some Turks. Did you ever ask them that? Because I haven't really run into any Turks up here yet, but I always wanted to ask them, I'm from Canada, I'm a Canadian, and you're a Turk, so I guess... You're Turkeys, right? So... I guess their language is gobble gobble. I don't know.
Well, it was when I was there, and there was five of them. And I'm telling you, it was five men, and I'm not even bullshitting you. It
Where's
was
the women?
Five men, in their later 20s, early 30s,
fighting style guys.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just giving them some pushback is what I'm doing. I'm just going to let them, I'm letting them know.
Yeah, you don't need to get in a fight with them. You just got to let them know that right?
I got my work boots on. I got steel toes on my work boots. I kick them in the shins first, knock them down to size, and just fights on. Let's go. But, you know, I'd probably be overwhelmed with five of them, but I'd probably take two.
I would think it probably wouldn't work out that well.
Yeah, but I got steel-toe work boots on. And I know how to kick. Kick in the shins first. You know, Muay Thai.
Well, it's
but the point is these guys, like, they're overwhelming the fucking aisles of the grocery store I go to. And if it's not them, it's the fucking Muslims with the knee jabs and the, not the black. What's a hijab?
What about the other people though? Do they?
No, they just smile. We're Canadian. We're very friendly, right?
Well, I'm friendly, but
that's why my son sits in the truck while I go shopping, because he says I'm not going in there for that. But I can't help myself. I just gotta stand up to it. I just, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this picture, and you're the one.
Well, it is the problem. Like, you would not get along well in Brampton.
No, why?
Like, well, when we went down there to pick up Alex, we're eating in a big restaurant, me and Mark were the only two white guys in the place, right? And when I'm looking out on the street, I'm thinking, where's the white people, right? You know, it wasn't, and there is a lot of Turks and Arabs and that in there, wait staff and that, right? And some of their T-shirts were pretty demeaning to white people, I think, you know, like, you know, Arabs rule and stuff, like, you know, like, what the fuck kind of messages are this? But that's happening everywhere now. And, you know, we lived in Vancouver Island. What was the name of that town? Duncan. I mean, it was only a town of, I don't know what it was, 5,000 people or whatever, 10,000 people maybe. And when they opened the gates on the West Coast to the East Indians, I mean, that town turned 50% East Indian, like, almost overnight, right? And Brampton is the same. I saw a couple articles today saying that Toronto's done. Right, Toronto is absolutely done. Right, it is turned into a shithole. It is Sodom and Gomorrah. It is Babylon. That this is going to deteriorate quick, and it's not going to be a pretty picture. I saw an article about immigrants, and that tend to be high on the scale of poverty, and that we have to do something about that, which is just an excuse to pull more money out of other people's pockets and or push in that guaranteed income nonsense. But a lot of people in Toronto now aren't too freaking happy about Toronto, and people are trying to get the hell out of there, so Toronto will be left to the, what is it, 120 different freaking languages? I didn't know there was that many different languages on the planet. All in Toronto. Not good.
Well, that's my point, Ron. We gotta straighten this shit out.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, you know, everybody loves the first world nation that we built, and it's all the third worlders are coming in, and we know who's designed that. But anyways, that being said, they're going to come in, and what's going to happen? It's like South Africa, you know? They're killing farmers, and then all of a sudden they go, oh, fuck, we don't know how to run the country. We don't know how to build the fire. We don't know how to keep it going. Maybe we'll bring some of the white boys back, you know? Is that arrogant of me, or is that the truth? It's the fucking truth.
Well, it's like my friend Doug said, who was in the UN. He says, when this comes here, just like it is in Sweden and just like it is in Europe and that, the people here don't get that information on the news, right? Like you got to go on YouTube or go in some blog or something to get the actual news that's going on over there. So he said when they come here, and people are freaking out what's going on here, the only news going out of here will be pleasant about how well everybody's fitting in together, and oh, we want to be a guide for the world on how to do this inclusive diversity bullshit. But you're never going to hear the real story, because they own the media. So we gotta try and I was saying about George Hunt, like George Hunt said, it's too far gone now, we can't stop him now, and he was getting old and died not long after, but when we did that show, and at the end of the show, I was trying to beef him up, like, you've been at this since 87, George, right? Trying to start a spark. And,
he was American, too, right?
Yeah, he was from Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah.
And, he was pretty disappointed, because he said all he's ever tried to do was start some sparks, right? And hopefully those sparks would ignite and grow, and we could get a flame and push this shit out of here. And, he was pretty down in the mouth. I didn't realize he was that ill. And I told, we did the show, and I said, no, George, the work you did, people are still watching it, and you have a good history that they don't know about. And it's inspiring people. So, yeah, we're going to win this because your sparks are starting to get a glow. And by the end of the show, he said, you know what, Ron? I went, what? We are going to win this. This is damn straight we are. And then I think George passed away about 3 months later or whatever. But this idea that we can't do something is freaking, it makes me want to, there's nothing that irritates me more than to hear people say, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Jesus H, this is your country, you jackasses. Well, they'll just do whatever they want. I just want to choke those people. I want to throw those people out of the country with the invaders, because they're as dangerous to the country as those who are invading us. If you have no connection to what your forefathers built for you, then yeah, you should get the hell out of here, right? Hit the road. This is no good. No good at all. So where are we going to get these people from? I don't know.
Supermarkets.
Where?
Supermarkets. Like what I do. I speak the truth when I'm in a supermarket.
I know, but
haven't been kicked out by security guards yet. But I do believe that they respect what I'm saying in my anger. And, I mean, if more people did that, maybe you would wake more people up and go, maybe the guy's got a point.
Well.
Well, I'm just saying. it's.
Oh, I hear you, but I mean it's.
Scream it loud and proud. Scream it loud and proud. That's my attitude. I don't back down, and I'm getting old, but I still got work boots on with steel toes, so I got a little defense.
Well. See, this is the problem here. I want to get together with the native people, but they got the native people running around looking for this reconciliation and this name change shit all over the place. And so in the meantime, I'm just looking at some of these headlines: Indigenous people and Muslims in dialogue. Indigenous people promoting reconciliation efforts as a non-indigenous Muslim. A Google book here. about the Muslims and the indigenous working together. Reconciling Muslim practices with Western principles. You can't do that. Long history with Islam gives indigenous Australians pride. Okay, so they've got the Muslims hooking up with the indigenous people all over the place, not just here, right? To get the Muslims to say, yeah, you guys have been badly treated and stuff, which they have been, but I didn't do it. So they're teaming up, and they are the other two. Like, they keep selling this nonsense about the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and everybody goes, oh, that's great. And they got these human rights tribunals, which are not courts, they're tribunals. But nobody's hearing about the indigenous rights and the Islamic rights. And so now you have the Islamic rights and the indigenous rights hooking up together, which are your universal rights. And people think, oh, well, that's for us white people. No. Well, I guess it is, but it doesn't mean anything. Because these other two rights groups, who somehow sit outside the universal human rights, have teamed up together now and are working together. I mean, what could be more obvious? You got a Muslim mayor of Calgary, and the Muslims are hooking up with the indigenous people to tell the indigenous people that you need to be more aggressive and you need to get all these names changed. And you know that the government's giving away huge tracts of land to the natives in this reconciliation package, but that is just so that the
they in turn, the chiefs in turn sell it off.
Right, to the international corporations for access to the resources. Yeah, so beating up a guy in the grocery store isn't really going to fix the big picture here.
No, it was going to be outside the grocery store, Ron.
But I'm still saying that's not going to really accomplish anything. You might make you feel good, but then the media will catch wind of it, and then again, you're Islamophobic or you got Turkey-itis, and they play that up in the media. And then white people are bad people, and so on and so forth. So, you know, you're going to get in a fight in the back alley where nobody's going to say nothing, and go from there. Not in the street. That's just not going to be good marketing.
Well, winter time here in Canada gets dark rather early.
Anyways, can you see if you can get Charlie Manson on the show? I don't think he's got much longer to live. And no, you're good at getting good guests on, so.
I was thinking about calling him, but he apparently right now he's not available.
Well, he's in the hospital.
Yeah.
They don't expect him to live much longer. But he was always a guy that I thought would have been a really interesting guy to talk to.
Man, that guy is so complicated.
That's what I'm saying.
Never heard a person in his life. got sentenced to death.
Yeah. Anyways, I hear music, so keep those windows shiny, my friend. Anyways, that's the thing.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for the money.